Lesson 2, Responsibility. Now with the sure knowledge that your testimony contains all the ingredients in God's recipe or plan of salvation, and you have the assurance that your salvation is secure for all eternity, there are certain other activities to enter in as you begin to live the Christian life. When one has known the grace, forgiveness of sin, and love of God in salvation, there's a desire to show one's love and appreciation for these blessings. We do this by our obedience to God's word. God instructs us to be baptized. Baptism is the act by which the believer shows evidence of his belief in Christ by identifying his death, burial, and resurrection. We do this by being baptized in water. When we speak of being baptized, we mean immersion, the placing of one believer or the believer under the water as a symbol of death and burial, and bringing them up out of the water as a symbol of resurrection to new life. This is the mode used by God's servants in the Bible by the church for the first several hundred years after they began. Our union with Christ is described in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. We are baptized into the body by the act of the Holy Spirit. Our baptism by immersion beautifully pictures this union and identification with Christ. When we are immersed in the water, our baptism illustrates our death to our old way of life. When we are raised from the water, it illustrates our resurrection to a new life which has been given to us. Baptism is also an act of consecration, saying to others that we are leaving the things of the world behind and are going to live for Christ. We find this baptism, or that baptism is mentioned in the Bible, always of believers following salvation. There are numerous instances of this in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, which is a record of the Acts of the Apostles and a pattern for us to follow in our churches today, some of these are recorded in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, Acts chapter 8, verse 12, and also in Acts chapter 8, verses 37 and 38. May you too be desirous to be obedient to the ordinance of the church and arrange to be baptized. Along with this, we should become part or members of a local New Testament church. When we're saved, in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, not only were they baptized, but they were joined with a group of local believers, an established church. And we are to join that church. We are to become members of it. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you were born again and became a child of God. The Bible also speaks of this spiritual act as becoming a part of Christ's body. At the time you believe, the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, which Christ also called his church. Therefore, all who belong to Christ and are a part of his body should work together for him in a local assembly. A New Testament church is a local assembly of born-again, baptized believers united in organization to practice New Testament ordinances, to meet together for worship, prayer, fellowship, teaching, and a united testimony, and to actively engage in carrying out the great commission given by Christ to his followers in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Thus, it is the believer's responsibility to identify himself actively with this type of local assembly or church. We find in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, that immediately after their salvation and baptism, believers were added to the local assembly, which was the church in Jerusalem. With membership in a Bible-believing, Christ-honoring church in your community, you will have inspiration of fellowship with other believers and the opportunity to do your part in the propagation of the Christian faith. Regarding the service God expects of his children, read Acts chapter 1, verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It is also your responsibility, however, as believers, to make certain that the local assembly with which you unite believes and acts in accordance with the independence and autonomy of the local church. This means that each New Testament church is free to govern itself without ecclesiastical interference and should cooperate with other New Testament churches as the Holy Spirit leads. It is responsible to follow the pattern of the church of the New Testament and is directly accountable to God. This kind of church will also believe in and take a stand for the separation of church and state, with each having a definite and distinct sphere of responsibility. Church attendance is important. Attending church services regularly and actively participating in church activities. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together in the church. And that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore, as a new Christian, you will find faithful, consistent church attendance is necessary for advancing in your Christian life, in your Christian walk. The Lord's Supper. We're to observe the Lord's Supper. The Bible teaches two ordinances in the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Like baptism, the Lord's Supper is an observance that is carried out to remember. It doesn't merit us any salvation. Both the ordinances for the believer after salvation, the Lord's Supper, which happens often, and baptism, which happens once in the believer's life, are ways by which we're obedient to Christ. The Lord's Supper is a way established by the Savior for believers to remember him. See and read Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. The emblems which are partaken of, the broken bread and the fruit of the vine, are reminders of his broken body and shed blood. As believers, we need to remember or be reminded of the price that Christ paid for our redemption. In partaking of the Lord's Supper, we do remember, or we are reminded. In 1 Corinthians 10, in the teaching to the local church about this ordinance, the ordinance is called a communion. In verse 16, and the Lord's table in verse 21. It is referred to as to break bread in Acts 20, verse 7, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20, as the Lord's Supper. Any of these terms may be used to speak of this ordinance because all of them are scriptural.